Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everybody. Today is March 9th, 2016, and you're listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and In Touch Interviews. Today I have the wonderful pleasure of welcoming the founders of GHS Paranormal Team, both Kelly McDonald and Lisa, I know I'm going to get this wrong, so I apologize now, Ganetsi are joining us today to discuss their upcoming event, what they do, how they do it, and more. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome both of them to the show. Hi, ladies.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you guys. How are the both of you?
That's wonderful, wonderful. How are you feeling? Last time I talked to you, you were a little under the weather.
I'm doing much better, and I actually got out today, and I enjoyed some of this warm Michigan weather that I'm hoping and praying sticks.
Wasn't that fabulous, 70 degrees?
Yes. To have a 70 degree weather here in Michigan in March, that's a little odd, but hopefully it will continue to stick. So I definitely want to jump in and write about you guys. You know, I know you both are the founders of GHS Paranormal Team. So let's start there. What is GHS Paranormal, and how did you guys get started with this group?
Well, every time everybody sees GHS, they always want to know what it stands for. So GHS actually does stand for Ghost Hunting Sisters. So believe it or not, we actually are sisters.
Yay!
So when people say they have a bad job, I say, try working with your family all night long.
Oh, stab me in the heart.
And so Kelly and I are the founders, but we actually have a few other members. We're an all-female paranormal team based out of the Michigan area. And we host what we like to say is our public ghost hunt. We've got a couple other members on our team, and they're all family, believe it or not. There's a middle sister, an aunt, and a mom.
Try doing that for your job.
Well, I give you guys credit because I've worked with close friends, but I've only worked with family once, so you guys have a lot more patience.
Actually, it's a blessing. They've helped us out a ton, and they're always there for us. So we couldn't be happier. And they work for cheap.
Yeah, but beer and pizza, really. You know,
that's what family's for, right?
Well, that's always a blessing too. If you can get your family to work for cheap, then that's good labor. So how did you guys get involved in the paranormal? I'm sure this is an interesting story in itself, but did you guys get involved in the paranormal as a family, or did you guys all have separate experiences?
Almost a little bit of both, you can say. Growing up, our mom was a witch. So she was... We tell everybody, think Glenda, the good witch, you know. So she was practicing, but she dabbled in a little bit. But it was more of your, you know, protection spells and
good luck spells.
Good luck, you know, of that nature. And she was pretty good at it. And she was a little bit of a sensitive as well. So she knew, unfortunately, when certain people were going to pass because they came to her. So she had a sense of, you know, impending death, which is not a great thing, I guess. But so our family was actually always open to it. It was always talked about. It was okay to talk about. It wasn't a taboo subject by any means. And then as you grow older and as you grow up, I think both Kelly and I have then, from that point, had each of our individual experiences, which has then fueled the fire and our interest in it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I lost my stepdaughter 7 years ago this past January. And like Lisa said, growing up in a household or a family that it was okay to talk about some of the experiences that we were having growing up. When my stepdaughter passed away a few years back, I remember, you know, she was at home, but I remember when she passed away at home having this experience that, you know, just fueled that fire, as Lisa said, where I saw something, the room lit up, there was an aura around her. It really was amazing. And so, you know, it just created more and more questions for me. And I want to go out and try and find some of those answers.
Wow. Yeah. And then myself, I am a practicing nurse. So throughout my career, I've done a bunch of different areas. I primarily still work in the OR, but when I worked surgical ICU, I was in downtown Detroit, and unfortunately, there was a lot of deaths in the ICU. And, you know, when I started having patients that, you know, were in a comatose or they're hospice and, you know, they're about basically to pass away, and all of a sudden they become lucid and they start talking to family members that are already deceased, and then they slip into a coma and then they pass. And I'm like, is that for real? Are they hallucinated? Are they actually really seeing things? I used to have prophetic dreams when I was younger, which used to freak you out, because when your dreams start coming true, you're like, oh my God, I don't want to dream again. I don't know what's going to happen next time. You know, and I was able to talk to my mom and talk to my, family, my sisters and aunts about it and not feel like I was crazy.
We joke all the time that mom's got some skills. This is Kelly. Both my sisters have some skills, and it clearly bypassed me. I don't have some of the abilities that the rest of the girls do. I rely a lot on the equipment.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question, because I know some of our listeners are curious if you guys were actually intuitive or psychic in your own right. So it sounds like some of you guys do have some of that gift.
Well, I think everybody kind of has the ability to sense. And I talk about the equipment a lot, and we go over a lot of the equipment that we use on our ghost hunts. But and even though with my medical background and I'm very scientific and I want to see proof and I want to use the equipment, but what I also tell people is that your body is actually the best piece of equipment out there. And most people are able to sense if there's atmospheric changes, EMF changes, because, you know, that's when your hair starts to stand up and you get the chilly willies, like, oh, my God, something is, you know, going on here. So I think most people are actually able to sense some things.
I agree.
Well, I'm glad you bring that point up, because I personally agree with you guys as well. I think everybody's intuitive in their own right. But I know that, sometimes some people believe that, you know, you're either intuitive or you're not. So, but growing up in that kind of household where it's very open and so forth, anything that you guys had, you were capable of nurturing. That's very interesting. You actually don't see that very often.
Yeah, it was very open. Lisa used to have, some dreams. Mom would actually have some visions. I joke all the time that my claim to fame is smell. But it's that fragrance every once in a while out of nowhere, that perfume or that scent that you just immediately associate with a loved one or with someone. And that usually was a sign for me that I either needed to call them or make sure everything was okay. And
so, see, Kelly has got a little bit of ability, whether she chooses to admit it or not.
I'm in denial.
She's the more skeptical one, even when it comes to herself.
Yeah, I'm very critical. I'm a believer, but I'm very critical of the evidence and the situations.
She's the skeptical believer.
Yeah.
Well, that actually makes good for a good paranormal team. So what, having the background that you guys do, what made you guys decide to start a paranormal team? What kind of led into that itself?
You know, that's interesting. There was an article in the local paper, and somebody shared that with us, and it was, you know, that there was a ghost hunt coming up. And, you know, I saw this article, and I called Lisa, and I called Tracy, our other sister, and I said, we have got to go do this, the three of us. You know, I think I've been watching way too many ghost hunting TV shows, so I just had to go do it. And while it was a really nice event, it wasn't exactly what I had imagined in my mind. And, you know, I wanted to get down and dirty. I wanted the lights out. I wanted equipment in my hands. I wanted to do what I saw on TV. And that's when, you know, Lisa and I sat down and we said, you know, again, it was a very nice event, but it's just not exactly what we were looking for. And I think there's people out there like us that want to go do this.
You know, they want a little bit more from a ghost hunt. You know, when everybody watches the shows and everybody thinks, man, how I would love to do that with that, you know, an experienced paranormal team. I want to go on a ghost hunt with them. And, you know, yes, they showed us where they had some hot spots and whatnot, but we wanted to see if we could capture the evidence. And, you know, so basically, Kelly and I were just bantering back and forth going, well, you know, yeah, it was nice, but, well, I think we should do this, and we could do this, and, you know, and then all of a sudden Kelly's like, well, maybe we should. It's like, okay, well, then let's do this. And then all of a sudden, we decided to form a paranormal team, and truthfully, the hardest part of it was finding a name.
Well, it's very interesting. I find it very interesting because for all of you guys who are listening right now, I've actually attended one of GHS's paranormal events, and Kelly and Lisa are dead on that, you know, the average event that you go to, it's somebody else who's using the equipment. You just kind of follow along, and you hear everything that they're picking up on or sensing and so forth, but you don't get to do the hands-on. The awesome thing about GHS is you actually get to do that. You actually get to use the equipment yourself.
Yes, and I think that's what kind of sets us apart from, you know, some other paranormal groups. And a lot of them will do it, you know, and they'll show you PowerPoints and show you some really cool evidence, and that's awesome. It really is, but our desire when we first were getting into it is that we wanted to do it. We're hands-on people. And we found that there was a lot of people that were the exact same way as us. So at that point, we started purchasing all of the equipment and everything, you know, the latest and greatest. And before you know it, we had quite the repertoire of equipment. And so what we do is we find areas that are known to be haunted or claimed paranormal activity. We team up with them, and we do a public ghost hunt. So you being on one of our events, you know that we allow the public to come in with us. We do a thorough explanation of each of the equipment, why we use them, how to use it, and
the theory behind it.
Because the thing about paranormal research is it is research. Everything is actually still theoretical about some of the equipment that we use and why we use it. But that's why I always like to explain why we use the things, because a lot, like I said, it is all research and theoretical. There's nothing really tried and true yet in this field.
And we like to have many different things in our toolbox, if you will. Even if it's controversial, that piece of equipment, we want to at least have it available for people to try it and come to their own conclusions.
Yeah, because a lot of people want to do a paranormal investigation, but one, they can't get into locations that maybe we can get into, and also, two, they don't have the equipment. It's not necessarily cheap.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff, so
it adds up.
Yeah, so they get a great experience. They get to come into, you know, a haunted location that they couldn't get in otherwise, and they're given a piece of equipment. Anything that they want to use for the night, they get to use. If it's dowsing rods or a millimeter or the ovulus?
I mean, we have three different versions of the ovulus, including the sold-out ovulus 5. Nobody can get their hands on that anymore. We have it. So some super high-tech. We have stationary night vision DVR cameras. We have night vision goggles. some low-tech items, you know, the dowsing rods, and everything in between. I'm glad you had a good time, Courtney.
I had a great time with your guys' event. And the thing about what I loved about it was not only did you get to use the equipment, which was hands-on, and I think I used, not only did I record, I had a voice recorder, but I think I did the EMF detector as well. But it wasn't a super huge group. It wasn't where you're literally in a building with 100 people and you know, you're fighting to get to these spaces or anything like that. I would say it was a decent-sized group, but you guys actually split everybody up into smaller groups, too, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's another thing, and that's why some of our events tend to sell out quickly, too, because we want everybody to have that personal experience and to be able to, you know, really enjoy yourself without running into somebody else. So we intentionally keep our group sizes small. We plan, you know, depending on the location and how big the facility is and how much we think that it can hold. Because we've gone on some hunts, you know, with other places, and you've got 50 people walking around at the same exact time. It's like, well, that's not going to harbor you any evidence.
We like more of that intimate feel. Just to give you an example, we have an event in June, the Ohio State Reformatory. Many people have probably heard of that location,
especially if anybody's actually seen Shawshank Redemption.
That's right. That's the one.
That's where it was filmed.
So we have that entire facility rented out as a private event for the GHS team and only 30 people. But that's literally,
wow.
You can have an entire corridor and floor to yourself.
We may, you know, your team may not even run into anybody for the whole 8 hours we're there.
Yeah, we like to keep it small and intimate and give you the best possible experience.
Yeah, and it's definitely a worthwhile experience. I'm actually hoping that if I'm not capable of making it to one of your and registering for your April event, that I can do another one later in the year.
we're always adding, you know, events as we go. We had the first half of the year planned out, and a lot of the, you know, they did sell out pretty quickly. Our April event is the only one I think that we have a few spots left. And then now we're going to plan the later half of the year because September, October always gets busy. We've got places that actually call us back every October.
We do the historic Holly Hotel if anybody's from Michigan. This will be, what, our fourth year?
We're going on our fourth year. Yeah, she, the owner of Holly now calls us her resident paranormal team.
Yeah.
And she just calls us up and says, okay, what, you know, these are our dates, you know, and we say, okay. And we don't even have to worry. We know the routine. We know how to set up. We know, and it's a wonderful working relationship.
Yeah. You know, we do this we do this year round. You know, this is not just a September or October haunted house attraction, if you will. I mean, this is a real paranormal investigation that, yeah, we do year round. Mm-hmm. Generally 1 to 2 a month on average.
Awesome. Now, have you guys ever considered going out of state? Or do you guys do besides Michigan, or have you thought about doing even bigger known locations?
So what location, Courtney?
I would say bigger known locations, you know, I'm trying to think. I believe that there is an insane asylum down in, isn't it like Waverly down in Kentucky?
Yeah,
have you ever thought of doing any of those big locations too?
Yeah, well, besides, generally we've stayed in and around Michigan, but the reformatory is in Ohio, so we're venturing out there. In the beginning, you know, because when we book an event, unfortunately, there's a rental fee. Nobody just lets us come in. So the larger the location, the more claims, the more haunted it is.
The more expensive
it is to get in. And we desperately try to keep it at a price point where It's just not crazy. You know, it's affordable for people. And so we really work hard at that, keeping it affordable and still having a fabulous experience. But we were just talking about Waverly possibly later this year. So that's interesting that you bring that up. Yeah, so that's just just outside of Louisville, right?
Louisville, right?
Yeah. I've only driven by. I've never been in, so I'm kind of excited.
Well, you know, if anybody listening can also, you know, email us and let us know of some haunted locations. We're always looking for new places to do an investigation at. You know, and that's sometimes hard because even if places are, you know, have claimed activity, sometimes they don't want to be known as haunted, even though they are, or not willing, you know, or don't want to do, you know, the...
We actually run into that quite a bit. We'll run, you know, we'll talk to owners and, you know, they'll verify that, yes, that they believe that they have activity there, and we'll try and work something out, and they don't want to do it because they don't want that word to get out. They're afraid it will actually hurt their business.
Wow, that's very interesting because I know that some businesses actually thrive off of it because they feel like it brings in more clientele. So that's very interesting that some places don't want to be known as haunted at all.
Right, so that's exactly it. Where some places are making paranormal profitable. If they have, like the Holly Hotel, that's been on multiple shows, and you know, and it's known historically, you know, nationwide that it's haunted.
And they accept it. They accept their hauntings, and you know, and people come from all over to experience.
Right, and all of their staff are well versed on the history and who they think the resident spirits are there. So if you go and dine there, and then they ask the, you know, the waiter or waitress, they can be able to tell you the stories, and the staff love it.
That's right.
You know, and some of them had experiences themselves, and so they know when you're going to go work there. And most of them actually been there quite a while because we've been, you know, working with them for the last couple of years. And so they've all kind of been there, and they know all the stories and the claims, and some of them have, you know, experiences themselves. And so some places do promote it. And, well, it's the Whitney as well. They have the ghost bar. And so some of them work well with it, and then there's other places, you know, some conference centers that we run into that they're afraid it's going to hurt their business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for those out that are listening right now, the biggest question they want to know is, do you investigate private residences? And if you guys do you guys charge for that?
We do private residence, and there is never a charge for that. So if there's anybody out there and, you know, you're having experiences in your home, and you contact a team that's in your area, and if there's ever a charge for that, you need to go find another team. It's just not what a reputable team will do.
Sure, right. Most people who are going to contact a paranormal team are having problems, or they're scared, or their children and pets are being scared. And so that's what we believe that should never be, you know, charged, and we will do whatever we can to you know, help a homeowner.
To help that family. And if it's something that that we're struggling with, you know, we have no problem reaching out to some of our psychic medium friends to see if they can help us solve or resolve any issues, any clergy that we might need to bring into the picture. We're not opposed to calling in the troops if necessary.
Yeah, if we need help, we call help.
That's right.
Well, that's awesome, and I would definitely say for the listeners out there to definitely keep that in mind. You know, if you do know somebody who is struggling with a lot of paranormal activity, you know, and they need that level of help, then GHS is definitely somebody to contact. And that kind of leads me into, you know, my next question. Obviously, you guys have done a lot of investigations. You know, have you ever gotten scared, or maybe what is the strangest thing that's happened to you guys during an investigation?
Well, I will tell you, Felisa's laughing. We were doing a residential location,
the historic house, registered historic house.
Yeah, the homeowner left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She didn't want to know anything about it.
She didn't want to be around during it, and we were there for several hours. So at one point in time during the night, Lisa and I had gone down to the basement, and this is kind of what we call a Michigan basement. It's got old stone walls and just dark.
Super, no windows,
nothing. So we go down there, and of course all the lights are off, and it's so dark that I found myself, my eyes were probably like 50 set pieces just trying to capture any kind of light.
And you couldn't see your hand if you held it right in front of your face. That's how dark it was.
It was so black. To that point where you kind of get creeped out, and I had to put my back against the pole, you know. And it's so quiet, and I heard this noise, this grump, this rrr noise. And it freaked me out. And I remember saying, Lisa, did you hear that? And she says, no. I'm thinking, okay. And I could hear my heart beating in my ear because I was, I got so worked up. And then I heard it again. And I'm like, tell me you heard that. And all of a sudden, Lisa starts giggling. And I clicked the flashlight on, and I'm like, what is so funny? She's like, that was my stomach growling. I haven't eaten today.
But let me tell you, Kelly was at this point thinking that there was some sort of demon or portal going on, and she was like, oh my God, something's coming to get us. And it was the third time it happened before I realized that my stomach was making that loud.
I thought I was going to kill her afterwards myself. But during an investigation at the, where were we at? The Garden City Strait Farmhouse Museum. Down in the basement down there, it was, I think after the night was done and we were packing up the equipment, we had some stationary cameras down there, and Lisa's husband, Paul, helps out occasionally, and he, the lights were still off, but we knew where everything was at. So he and I were down there in this one little corner of the basement, and I heard a disembodied voice, the one and only time out of all these years that I've actually heard it as it happened. And in the beginning, of course, your husband was a little skeptical. And I remember Paul saying, did you hear that? And I said, matter of fact, I did. He said, can we go? And I said, yes, let's go. But, yeah, it was kind of a growl in the basement there.
Yeah, I like to, I like to equate ourselves to, like, storm chasers, because when they see that tornado and they head right to it, I'm like, you have got to be crazy. I'm heading the other way as far as I can. So we're the type of people that, oh, this is haunted. Cool. Let's go check it out, to where it's fascinating to us and exciting, especially if we are able to capture evidence. And again, at the Strait Farmhouse, I had a group up in the toy room, and there's some antique toys there. And we're all sitting on the ground talking, trying to get one of the resident spirits to communicate with us. And all of a sudden, one of the little figurines that was on the wall fell off the wall and flew across the shelf right down on the floor into our lap. And everybody else is screaming, and I feel like the kid on a roller coaster. I'm like, oh, my God, did you see that? That was so cool. And we had some girls get up and, running screaming. But there I am, smiling ear to ear, thinking, this is phenomenal. This is awesome. And we have it on film.
We do. We actually captured that on video. Most of the time we go after it.
So you guys don't run in the opposite direction at all.
No. We're the strange ones that go toward it.
Unless it's Lisa's stomach growling.
Yeah. Well, that might scare anybody away.
So, it sounds like you guys have done a lot of investigations. What type of evidence have you guys acquired or captured throughout these investigations?
We have everything from EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. We have that video evidence, that example that Lisa was just talking about. We actually have that on film, where it's plain as day. I mean, nobody bumped it. It wasn't hanging on the edge of the shelf. It moved 6 inches and then came off the shelf. Personally, I'm not a fan of the quote-unquote orbs, that people capture in still photography or some of these night vision cameras, any little dust. An insect, a piece of hair, you know, that looks crazy. So I'm not a big fan of that. But we do have a video clip where this thing shoots across the screen, and it goes from left to right, and then it shoots up to the top, and then out of the frame. And it emanates like this green glow, which is really weird because it was completely dark, and it was with the night vision the camcorder. But the only way that night vision camcorder works is when the IR light is on, and the IR light was not turned on yet.
Yeah.
So this thing was glowing on its own.
Yeah, really, really interesting piece. And again, I'm not a fan of orbs, so we generally will not post anything on our Facebook page or on our website. If there's any doubt in our minds about what we've captured, then we don't share it with anybody. But on our website, we do have an evidence tab, and you can go in there and listen to some EVPs that we've captured, several what we call Class A EVPs, real clear, and several of the EVPs that would be considered, you know, we ask a question and then it would be a direct response to that question. So we're always excited about those. So folks can go check that out on ghsparanormal.com under the evidence tab.
Awesome, and I would highly recommend anybody listening definitely check that out. I've personally checked out all your guys' evidence videos and have went through some of them and watched them. So, and there's some compelling stuff there. Now, I know you guys brought up the Straight House, the Straight Farmhouse, and I believe, were you guys investigating that again this month in March? Is that where you guys are at this month?
Yes, actually March 19th, we're doing another event there. It is sold out at this time, and we normally go back every couple months because this place is normally highly active, and I think the resident spirits now, you know, are used to us, and we have a really good time there. It's local. It's a very nice facility.
Isn't that heat?
I was going to say, it's nice when you have running water, bathroom. Trust me, there's some places that we go to, no heat, you know, there's no running water.
Nope, yeah.
And if you're there all night long, it's hard when you don't have a bathroom.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Now, for any of you guys who are listening out there and you are local to Michigan, I would say definitely check out ghsparanormal.com. Check out their website. You know, they have a lot of amazing events throughout the year, like they said. And then also you can look at Body, Mind, Spirit Guide magazine, because I know you guys are now advertising your events in the guide as well. But the Straight Farmhouse was actually where I joined you guys for an investigation. And, yeah, that place has a lot of activity. So not to pick and choose, because I definitely would say I would be willing to almost investigate any place, whether it had running water or not. But just being there with my personal experiences, yeah, the Straight Farmhouse definitely has activities. So if you're looking for an experience, then I would say definitely go on that ghost hunt.
that one's a wonderful place to investigate. Like I said, we go back every couple months because it is such a great place to investigate. We do have another event in April. That one we do have a few spots left, and that is over in Allegan, Michigan. It's actually called the Allegan Old Jail Museum.
Yeah,
basically. It was, this is actually going to be our first time investigating it. Kelly was actually able to get over there and do a quick tour. I don't want to say a quick tour, because you were there for quite a while. A
couple hours.
With the curator who takes care of it, and, you know, wonderful person giving her a lot of information. This place was built in the 1900s. And what's really cool about it is one of the last original jails where the sheriff quarters is actually attached to the jail. So that means that if you were the sheriff, you lived basically next door to your prisoners.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's got three floors of cell blocks, if you will, and then the whole residential area. I mean, you know, four bedrooms, and it's huge. It's a huge place for us to investigate, And again, we're going to, you know, do that for just a handful of people.
Right, right. You know, like we said, we always limit, you know, the number of people because we want everybody to get that hands-on personal experience. But those of you who aren't able to join us on our ghost hunt, or if you, a lot of people, time when people will be like, okay, well, I'm going to wait until I, you know, till next week to buy my tickets. And then they get online and be like, well, what do you mean you sold out? Be like, yeah, sorry. And so what we've been doing now is we've been actually live streaming from our ghost hunts. We just did it last month. And so March 19th at the ghost hunt at the Straits Farmhouse, we're going to be live streaming for the second time. There's an app called Periscope. Have you heard of that, Courtney?
I have, but continue on because now I'm really, really super curious.
Well, this is a phenomenal app. We're new to it, but we're trying to make it work. It's an awesome thing. Everybody can download it on your phone so that when we go to the ghost hunt, we're going to be basically videoing and live streaming from the ghost hunt. We did it when we were in Romeo in February. And so it's great because people can watch us right then and there as we're doing the ghost hunt. What's also cool is they can actually text or leave messages basically while we're investigating. So, of course, you know, we're having a spirit box session and then somebody puts something, text something on the screen, says, I think I saw something in the left corner. So I'm whipping the camera around trying to see what they were seeing. So people who are watching it can get involved as well. They can say, oh, what did the ovulus say? They didn't hear it. Or I saw something else in the left corner, or whatever it is. So they kind of get...
It's very interactive.
Yeah.
Even though you're physically not there, you're there with us live at that moment in time. You can send us the messages, you know. And like Lisa said, people were saying that they heard something or they saw something and would send us a message that everybody can see, and we would go that way. It's like I was going to go right, but everybody kept saying they saw something left, so let's go left. And it became the people that were scoping with us, it became their investigation too. So it was so much fun.
You know, so yeah, we're really liking this Periscope app now to where...
Yeah, we've actually been doing, like every Thursday night as an example, we will do a show for about 20 minutes. The last couple of weeks we did some equipment review. We talked about some of the evidence that we've captured. And tomorrow night's talk will be on the Ouija board.
Ooh, yeah.
And because it's so interactive, and we're looking so forward to that because you're either in two camps. You're either in it as strictly a board game, or it's a portal
to hell normally.
Yeah. So that's going to be a good one.
And it's great because since it is live streaming, people can communicate with you and talk and become very interactive. So it'd be great if people can tell us, like, what it is that they think. Do they think it's a game? Do they think it's more? Do they think it's safe, not safe, or people have used it? So everybody can kind of communicate with us while we're live streaming at the same time. It is only up on the Periscope app for 24 hours, and after that, then...
the video kind of goes away. That's one of the things with Periscope, but we have our video saved on the site Catch Me TV. A lot of people are familiar with that, so you can check out past episodes, if you will, just by searching GHS Paranormal. And we have giveaways, and we have fun. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'd be really excited to see your guys' discussion on Ouija boards. Because I do agree with you guys. There's either a left camp or a right camp. Either they're on the left side saying it's a board game, it doesn't do anything, it's just a piece of cardboard or a plank of wood, or yeah, they're on the right side going, oh no, bro, I don't mess with that. We won't even bring them near the house.
right. There's some people that, I mean, our mom was the same way. I think she tried it once when she was younger.
I had a terrible,
terrible, terrible experience. That was when she was like 20. And hasn't touched it since.
Forbids it.
It was in the house. Yeah. That was not a game to us. At least to me, it wasn't. You know, mom was not. She's like, there's no way in hell you get out of my house or something like that. It's not happening.
And this will be fun because I lean sometimes towards the game. I know it's going to be an active discussion.
I know, and I'll lean a little bit towards the other way.
It's so interesting. You know, it's great to have two point of views on one team. Well, you know, that's the whole big sister, little sister, you know, drama as well.
That's right. I'm always right.
Well, I would definitely be interested to see how that discussion plays out and so forth and so on. I know I've had my own personal experiences with people that I've worked with the Ouija board, so I'm going to stay out of it. I'm not picking sides. So I think that's awesome that you guys are doing that now. I think that's great that people can watch from home if they can't be there but still interact with your guys' investigations. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's new to us, and I think when we spoke from our first event, we had, you know, not a lot of people knew, but we actually started to get viewers as it was going on, and it was really fun and really interactive. So the more viewers we get, the more people can communicate. And
we got some great emails from people afterwards. You know, that we're able to go back and replay it. So even if you can't jump on live, you can always replay it. And everybody seems to really, you know, enjoy that. We've only done it the one time, and of course, on March 19th, we'll do that again. And then every once in a while, we'll do what we coined it as our hometown haunt. And Lisa and I will go into a location maybe that we're thinking about doing an investigation in, and scope from there and let everybody see the inside of it, you know, interview the folks that if it's a commercial place, interview the people that run it and get some of the history behind it. And everybody can learn about it as we're learning about it.
Awesome.
We're excited about it. Can you tell?
Well, I would definitely be excited about it, too. I think that's awesome that you guys are doing that and you're allowing more and more people to interact. And because when you're in that type of space and you're doing that type of investigation, you know, you're focused where you're looking is the best way I can put it. You know, you're facing the direction that you're looking at or the equipment you're using. You're not, you know, capable of, like, swinging your head in a 360-degree direction to see everything. So it's kind of cool that the people at home can point out activity that maybe you're not even facing or you're not even seeing. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, we're really excited. I remember back in February when we were doing it, somebody had typed on, you know, did you hear that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't hear anything. And I don't know, 10 other people jumped in and said, we heard it too. Go over there and go find it. I'm like, seriously, I didn't hear anything. So sure enough, you know, we went where we were told.
Did you guys feel like sacrificial lambs though?
We were at the mercy of the viewers.
Yeah. So I just want to go back to your guys' April event. I know that you guys are going to be investigating the old jail museum in Allegan, Michigan, but it's actually taking place on Saturday, April 16th, and I did want to mention that. I know you guys said you had a couple of spots left. The cost is only $40, which to me is amazing. And the time frame is 7 to 10 p.m., so you are in there for 3 hours, so which I also thought was really amazing, too, the first time that I did an investigation with you guys. Not only is it affordable, but you're in there for 3 hours. You're actually in the location for 3 hours. Which is kind of amazing, too, because it really allows you to kind of have that thorough investigation.
We feel it's kind of that sweet spot. It's not just an hour walk through. You do have 3 hours in that location. And it's also not, you know, a 12-hour overnight where we found people are exhausted. Actually, most people are exhausted at the end of 3 hours.
3 hours.
Would you agree?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, when we first started this and we were trying to figure out what was a good time frame, you know, and of course, Kelly and I, we can do this all night long, but there's some people, you know, that rush of adrenaline going for so long, they were physically exhausted. And like about 2.5 hours into it, they're like sitting.
they're like, we just can't do it anymore. But, of course, they refused to leave until I did the closing prayer.
We were so worried that we weren't doing something right, that they weren't having a good experience because they weren't participating anymore. Those couple of ladies, I remember that. It was early on when we started doing this. And we were so worried. We were talking to them, is everything okay? What can we do? You need another piece of equipment? And they're like, no, please, no more. I can't take anymore. I had an amazing experience in the basement, and I'm emotionally drained.
Right.
I just want to sit. It's been a fabulous night. But
they were, you know, it's not just physically, but emotionally, because, like I said, with all that adrenaline that's going, and if they do capture something, that excitement and the fear or the anticipation or whatever it may be, when your body is running on that for so long, all of a sudden you're like, you know, when you're done, you're done. And people are like, so that's what we found, that 3 hours is kind of like it's just the right amount of time where everybody's able to see the whole facility wherever we're at. We try to make sure that everybody gets to go onto every single level or every single hot spot, so you're not leaving anything out. But then it's not too long to where then people do start to basically fatigue.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely noticed that when I was with you guys. There were some who were just tired and they were, you know, ready to go. And then there were some people who were just wired and they could have just literally sat there for the whole rest of the night and fast in the ghostly aura. So you kind of see both sides of the coin. I did want to talk about who attends your guys' events. And I remember the event that I actually came to you guys with and so forth. And it actually did come up as a question. Are your events 18 and older?
Yes. They are 18 and older for multiple reasons. One, because we are investigating in the dark. Lights are out. There's trip hazards, fall hazards. So we do have everybody sign a waiver because of that as well. But this is not, and I think some people mistake our investigations for, you know, a haunted house, like a Halloween-type haunted house. Somebody's dressed up as, you know, a ghost coming to get you. This is, you know, legitimate paranormal and ghost hunting. We don't make anything happen. So, unfortunately, if the ghosts or spirits are quiet that night,
it's a quiet night. 3 hours is really long,
you know. But when it's an active night, this is great. And we tried it once, I think, and we had some younger people, and they got a little too emotionally, I don't think that they were able to handle it.
That's true. I think the young lady that was there was 16,
yeah,
17. 16. Our first time where we tried it because we got a lot of requests. So we said, okay, you know, the parents had to sign an additional waiver.
They had to be there with them as well.
And we tried it, and what, an hour and a half into it, this young lady had a small experience, and it was so emotional for her that she broke down and cried, and it was overwhelming for her. And I felt bad.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Because then, you know, mom had to take her home.
You know, and we were worried, you know, and then we worry about her, and then, you know, about the, okay, well, was this too much for them, or was it too much for her? And I'm not saying that anybody 18 and older can't have that type of personal experience as well, but sometimes a little bit younger and, you know, teenagers, as you've got some, you know, your hormones and emotions are as mature yet, and it was very emotional for her. And then we were afraid that might have had maybe a negative impact on her, and that's, we don't want anything like that either.
Yeah, mom contacted us, the next day and said everything was okay. But, you know, she got a little scared. She had an experience. She was asking some questions. She got some intelligent responses, and it overwhelmed her. So the long of it is, 18 and older.
Yeah, I was actually at that event with you guys, so that's why I asked that question, because I didn't know if since then you guys were actually – sticking with the 18 and older policy, because I know it was mentioned, but I haven't seen you guys since then.
Yeah.
So I was curious about that. Now, as far as those who attend your events, I know that you guys now, you know, do adults, 18 and older. Do you find that you get more open-minded people, more skeptical people? Do you find that you draw a lot of spiritual people? Do you get a lot of psychics who attend your events? Like, how does, who do you typically have as an audience, do you guys find?
I would say all of the above.
Yeah, yeah.
Because believe it or not, a lot of the times, let's say we'll get, you know, we do have a lot of women attend. I think the women are more excited. I don't want to say more excited, but a lot of times we have more women than men at our events. Not always, but, I mean, when we normally do have men as well. But a lot of times it'll start off like maybe the wife is really interested, and so she drags her husband, and he comes, and he's coming for her. And before you know it, the husband has a piece of equipment. He's off and running, leaving her behind, you know, going, oh, my God, you know, I caught this over here, or my REM pod went off here. And before you know it, they're getting into it, where maybe they initially didn't care or they weren't as interested as, you know, their wife was. And we've had people come that are skeptical. And it's like, that's great, too, because we're not there to prove anything. We're not there to tell you spirits do exist or spirits don't exist or this place is haunted or not. We want the public, we want you to figure that out on your own. We're there to help you and guide you through it, but we're not going to, you know, say this place is haunted or it's, and then we've had, and then we have had psychics, unbeknownst to us, some psychic mediums will show up and all of a sudden they start talking about impressions and they're getting messages and I'm like, wait, what happened? What am I missing here?
Yeah.
And I think most people that do come are open-minded, and I think most people in general are open-minded, and maybe it's a curiosity and they want to see for themselves whether or not they can capture. So, you know, maybe they're in Kelly's boat. They're the skeptical believer. Like, sure, I believe something, but I've never had anything happen to me, so.
I mean, I think that's kind of the eternal question, right, is that nobody really knows what happens after we die. Nobody really knows. And so, you know, that's kind of where I fall sometimes is, you know, after capturing an EVP and hearing this, and I know that there was no one else there, it's like, where did this come from? How did this happen? This was a direct response to my question, not just a haphazard yes, but a mini sentence, you know, a four-word sentence in response to what I was saying. And I think many times people come to see if they can contact, you know, a loved one, even though these locations might not have anything to do with grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or sister or brother. Many times I think that people can bring their loved ones with them that have crossed over. And we have had on occasion people that have had experiences there with a loved one that have nothing to do with the Straight House Museum or the Allegan Old Jail. But, you know, grandma came through. And, it, you know, that for me, that's priceless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both for giving me the opportunity to interview you guys. I greatly appreciate it, and I know all of our listeners out there do as well. We have about 6 minutes left in the show, so is there anything that you guys would like to share that maybe we haven't talked about or that maybe you would like to share with the listeners?
You know, I would just remind everybody to visit us at ghsparanormal.com. Check out the evidence page. You can see our upcoming events. You know, check out Periscope. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
We're doing kind of mini shows on there. It's really interactive. The live streaming during the hunt mm-hmm. is proving to be really fun for us and I think the people watching. You know, of course, our Facebook page, you know, we're all about the likes as well because then when we post something, you can see that on your news feed. So if you could give us a like, GHS Paranormal Team. And
you know, and if anybody has any insights of any locations that they think
Yeah, in your hometown.
Yeah, would be open and willing for us to come in to do a public hunt there. We're always looking for new places. You know, we like to expand our places that we go to, because I think a lot of people like to experience different places. And, you know, we start to have a few followers, per se, that like to come to our events and thoroughly enjoy it. And we've had a few people that have purchased tickets to every single one of our events this year so far, because we try to do something new, and then or we'll come back around every couple months to maybe the same location. Maybe some other people weren't able to get in at that time, but always looking for new locations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not necessarily those that are just in the Michigan area, although we have started, we are starting to expand. We're going, you know, into Ohio and over on the west side of Michigan. So we're not opposed. Like you had mentioned before, we were actually just discussing Waverly.
That's right.
But if anybody knows of any other, you know, locations, we would love to hear about them.
Yeah.
Awesome, ladies. Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to interview you guys. And hopefully I'm able to bring you guys back on here in the future to discuss some more awesome stuff that you guys are up to. I do want to remind everybody that there's only a few spots available for their April 16th event in Allegan, Michigan at the Old Jail Museum. The cost is $40 per person, and it's a three-hour event. So if you guys do want to take up those last couple of spots here in Michigan for that event, then definitely contact them at ghsparanormal.com. And thank you so much, ladies, and I wish you the best of luck in all your future investigations.
Well, thank you so much, Courtney. It was a pleasure being on and talking with you tonight.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, guys, and I want to wish you the best of luck, and hopefully I'll be able to come to your guys' April event or some of your future ones. I love bragging about you guys, so I have to
so
come
much.
Get my six, too.
Anytime.
Awesome, ladies. Thank you. And if you're currently listening live, you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. I just had the wonderful opportunity to interview both Kelly and Lisa of GHS Paranormal Team. If you did not get a chance to listen to the show live, please go to bodymindspiritradio.com and click on In Touch Interviews, and all of their information as well as their website and this episode will be there, so you can go back and listen to it again. You can share the link, so forth and so on, and you can get everything that you need to know about joining them for an investigation. I want to thank them again for joining the show, and until next time, have a wonderful rest of the month. Bye-bye.